Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
I'm Pastor Gary here, Pastor of Faith Baptist Church. I want to welcome all of you to our Christmas Eve / Sunday morning service, because tomorrow we won't be having a Sunday morning. I may go live at 11:30, we'll see, but hopefully with a short devotion. But this is our Christmas Eve candlelight service, but it's also a Sunday morning service. You know what that means? That means you don't get a short Christmas Eve sermon. It means you get a Christmas Eve sermon plus a Sunday. You get extra. This is a bonus night for everyone here tonight at Faith Baptist Church. And we're excited to have you come. And also, by the way, our offering plate is in the back. We won't be passing the plate tonight, but if anybody wants to give an offering, and for our Christmas offering, not Easter offering, I'm getting ahead of myself. We sent this week $500 for kids for camp in Argentina, and we just got our hardware in for our doors, and we're going to get them installed. So we have a couple of projects that we're trying to raise for our Christmas offering. And great to have you. The heat's on, so it's warm. You can't complain. We're excited about this time tonight. Now, go to the back of your handout here, and you'll have the scripture that we're going to look at tonight. In fact, we're doing the Christmas story, but you may not be familiar with this Christmas story, this part of the Christmas story. This is the part of the Christmas story beginning in Luke with a couple named Zacharias and Elizabeth. And they were the parents of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the evangelist, you might want to call him. He was the preacher, and he prepared the way of the Lord. You remember in Luke and in Matthew, John the Baptist is preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." John the Baptist baptized Jesus. So he kind of prepared the way for the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've been talking about this the past couple of weeks, that this couple was faithful to the Lord. They were old. They didn't have children. But they were serving in the temple. And between Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, and Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, there's a silence of 400 years. There's 400 years where they didn't hear anything, any word from the prophets. They didn't hear any message from God, but they were waiting. They were waiting for the Messiah, because the book of Malachi ends with the promise of the Messiah, that he's going to be coming. So we find this couple waiting for the Messiah, praying for the Messiah, and all of a sudden, God moves. God begins to move. And the first sermon I talked about, wait for it, that God is going to move. And that's what we need in our lives. We need God to work. We need God to move, God to do the work. And then last week, we saw that John, when he went in the temple, he saw the angel. And we talked about how when God comes, things change. God can change our lives. He can change our perspective. He can change the way we think. And when John went in the temple, his life turned around. And interesting, as we're going to see, that Zacharias, when he actually saw the angel said, "You're going to have a son," he didn't believe it. And so when he came out of the temple, he couldn't speak. And he couldn't talk. And so the narrative picks up tonight with Elizabeth. Elizabeth is going to speak. We've heard from John till now. Now we're going to hear from Elizabeth. And Elizabeth has something very significant to say about the Christmas story. Sometimes I'll ask my wife, What are you thinking? And she'll say, a lot of things. What you want to talk about? Oh, no, I can't talk about them. Too many things in her head. She can't talk about them. And then I'll, you know, a little while later, we'll go on, you know, a few days. What are you thinking? Oh, a lot of things. And so I know when she finally speaks, I'm going to be paying attention. It's going to be something significant because all these things she's thinking, they're finally going to come out. I'm finally going to understand what has been going on. And this is kind of how it is with Elizabeth. She's been silent. We haven't heard from her. And now she's going to speak, and she's going to tell us, and I have the outline. The outline's actually here. Four things about the Christmas story. Number one, the good news changes us. Number two, the good news is a person, Jesus. Number three, the good news humbles us. And number four, the good news is to be believed. What is the greatest news you ever heard? You're going to have a child? You heard the news? You were surprised or you were overjoyed, and then finally it sunk in. And 9 months later, it really sunk in. And 30 years later, it's still sinking in. Some of you young parents don't know that. Maybe you got a different job, or maybe the sale of the house went through, or maybe you had a very terrible sickness and you were healed from that. You got some good news that the surgery was successful. What is the best news you have ever heard? And as we think about the Christmas story, remember the Christmas story is good news. The Christmas story is an announcement. The angel Gabriel came, actually, in this story, he came first to Zacharias and Elizabeth before he came to Mary and Joseph. And he came and he announced, it was an announcement of good news. For Zacharias and Elizabeth, you're going to have a child. But the news, here's the thing. When we wait for God to work, the news is always better than what we thought or what we wanted. Because they just wanted a child. They said, you're not just going to have a child. You're going to have a child that is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, that will be a great man, a great preacher, and will turn many people to God. You're going to have, if you will, a hero. You know how parents are today, right? Every child, he's 3 years old, and he hit the ball. Oh, he's going to be a baseball. He's going to make Major League Baseball, right? We think our kids, but this was actually true. Elizabeth wasn't expecting it. They didn't have these high hopes, but God came with the message. Here's the thing. The message came to them. It was good news. And so we pick the story up in verse 21. So you go to the back, you can read here. So that's why we don't have the PowerPoint tonight. You go to the back, we pick the story up, verse 21. And the people waited for Zacharias. And marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. Of course he did. What was he doing in the temple? He's talking with an angel. Wasn't expecting to see this angel, and he gave him the good news, the proclamation of the birth of John the Baptist. But notice verse 22. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, for they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So if you remember, when the angel gave him the message, he said, What do you mean? We can't have a baby. We're old. We're too old to have a baby. I said, no, you're going to have a baby, but because you doubted, you're not going to be able to speak for 9 months. Now, I wonder if Elizabeth was happy about this. I wonder if John was, I don't know why I keep saying John. Zacharias was one of these husbands that talked too much. Probably not. I mean, I don't have that problem. Most husbands don't have that problem. You don't talk enough. But Zacharias, he's silent for 9 months. He had to play. They had a game of charades so he could relay this message of the appearance of the angel. And so he remained speechless. But they, as they were waiting, now picture, there's this crowd around. And they're like, something's happening. This is unusual. God must be moving. Now, you remember last week, we talked about how they were outside. What were they doing? They were praying. They were praying for God to work. They were praying that God would do something. And God answered that prayer. And last week, we talked about one of the greatest verses in the Bible, and it says, God heard their prayers. That is Zacharias and Elizabeth. They didn't think God heard their prayers. But he certainly did he not? So here, verse 25, so it was, as soon as the days of the service were completed, remember they came to Jerusalem to serve in the temple, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, now notice the first statement of Elizabeth. All of Elizabeth's words are in red on your handout. Oh. They're not read on your Bible app or your Bible, but they are read on this handout. So here's the first point. The good news changes us. The good news changes us. It changed Elizabeth, didn't it? She didn't have a baby. She couldn't have a baby. She was incapable of having a baby. She was old. It looked impossible. She had got this news, and notice what she said. We talked about this, how in the culture of the day that not having children was, it was difficult socially, but it was also difficult practically. And notice what she said here. Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked, notice what it says, he looked on me. I like that phrase. Christmas is about God being present. Christmas is about God is not out there somewhere. God is here. He looked on her. He saw Elizabeth. In other words, in the scriptures, he says, God sees you tonight. You're not anonymous. You can't hide from God. Or maybe you think God doesn't care. He looked. He says, he has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me. Notice what he said, to take away my reproach. Notice what he says, among the people. So I'd mentioned this, that Zacharias and Elizabeth were probably talked about, like, what's wrong with them? And I in the first message, I mentioned that there was nothing wrong with them. The Bible says they were blameless before God. They did not have a baby because God was angry with them, or God was punishing them, or God didn't respect them. And sometimes we think in life, when things aren't going our way, God's given us a bad deal. No, he was looking on her, and he took away her reproach, her shame from among the people. You know, I think of that verse in Matthew when Jesus is talking. And he's talking about his second coming when he comes. And he says, you know, in a whole context of that passage, I think it's Matthew 10, he's talking about the fear of man and how sometimes we're afraid to identify with Jesus because of what people will say. And Jesus made a statement in that day, if you deny me, I'll be ashamed of you when I come. But if you don't deny my name, if you glorify my name, I won't be ashamed of you when I come. In other words, he's saying, it doesn't matter what people say when you know Jesus. It doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter their opinion. And we have a society that it today is so much driven by what people think of you. What clothes you wear, how much money you have. This is the thing. The good news changes us. Why? Because we find our significance in God. We find our significance in what God does. And that God can change your situation. There is no sin God can't forgive. There's no problem God can't give you the answer for. There's no temptation that you can't overcome through the power of Jesus. When Jesus comes, the good news changes us. And then notice, verse 39, now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you have felt a baby in your womb or your wife's womb? You don't have to raise your hands, but you can if you want. I have. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Moving around in there. Some of them moved more than others of them. But can you imagine the baby leaping? Like doing the long jump in the womb. Elizabeth, this was something different. And it's when Mary came. Well, of course, Mary was carrying the baby Jesus. And so the baby leaped. Now notice again, verse 42, the words in red, the words of Elizabeth. Then she spoke out of a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now notice, the good news is a person. Jesus. It's not a religion. It's not a method. It's not something you do. Christmas is about God with us, Emmanuel. She calls his name Emmanuel, which means interpreted God with us. God isn't far away. God is close to us. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. God wants to know you. God wants you to know him. And that's why God came in humble means, in a humble situation, through humble people. And can you think of anything more humble and helpless than a baby? We've had a bunch of new babies in our church recently. And sometimes when you give somebody a baby to hold who's not used to holding a baby, it's like you're holding like a nuclear bomb, like you're afraid to, right? I can remember, I still remember in my mind, the first night we brought Elizabeth home, and my wife and I were sleeping, and we're like, we're going over the bassinet. She's still alive. She's breathing. By the time Joe came along. Yeah, whatever. My older kids are always telling me, you don't treat the younger kids like you treated us. Yeah, we're a little older. We're a little more mellow. But this was even more. This was a baby. This was a person. That baby grows up and becomes somebody you know. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The good news is a person. It's Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. It is about the person of Jesus. It's not about what religion is better. It's not about what church is better. It's about Jesus Christ entered into history, changed the calendar, changed the world in the fullness of time when God had everything into place, the Roman government, the road system, transportation, communication, God intervened and came into human history. This wasn't a bunch of guys in a room trying to figure out some religion. This was God coming in a supernatural way, breaking through the clouds and coming in and shining the light of the gospel in the person of Jesus. The most important question is, who is Jesus? That's the most important question. Who is Jesus? Is he who he says he is? Is he the promised Messiah that Isaiah, that Micah, that the Psalms testify, the 300 fulfilled prophecies in the person of Jesus? That's who it is. In a person. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then the good news humbles us. Notice what Elizabeth said in verse 43. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, if the good news doesn't humble you, you have not understood the good news. If the good news doesn't humble you, you don't understand who you are and who God is. We have a concept driven by society of God, not based on what's written in the scriptures. And we interpret God to be interpreted through our finite, fallible, and faulty minds. Elizabeth understood something. Who am I? Who am I? There's a song. It's Casting Crowns. Who am I? I won't sing it for you. I always wish I was one of those preachers that could sing. What's that, Michael Todd? Is he the one that he'll start singing or something? Yeah, that's not me. I don't want you to think it's a fire alarm and you start running. She said, who am I? Who are we? Who are you? We know the ways of God. Kind of what God gave him to Job. Remember Job? If you don't know the book of Job, okay, it's in the Old Testament. He was a rich man. He served God. And he lost everything. And he sat around for days, didn't speak a word. And his friends came to him. And his friends kept saying, well, Job, what did you do wrong? And he kept saying, I didn't do anything wrong. And I'm righteous. Even his wife said, just curse God and die. Said, no, I'm right. I did right. And all his friends came with all these reasons why this happened. Until something happened. Job saw God. And God, at the end of the book, you should read it. It's a great book. But at the end of the book, all his friends there had their little conversation, right? And finally, at the end, guess who spoke? God. And when God spoke, he came to Job and says, were you there when I created the world? Were you there when I created the sun? Where were you? Who are you, Job? Do you have infinite wisdom? Are you omnipresent? Are you all-knowing? What did Job say at the end? He said, I've heard of you. But now my eye sees you. And what was his reaction? He said, I repent in dust and ashes. Who is God? The good news of the gospel should humble us that the Almighty God, who has every right to punish us, who has every right to hold us accountable, instead sent his son in the form of a baby to go to the cross for our sins. The good news humbles us. And then finally, the good news is to be believed. Notice verse 45. Blessed is she who believed. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is her that believed. What's the most popular verse that people know? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. She believed the words. And when God came down and broke into human history and disrupted the Jewish nation, the Roman government, the whole world. You know, here's one of the proofs, I believe, of the inspiration of the Bible. Because here we come to this passage relating the Christmas story. And it was written in a society dominated by men. And who are our heroes tonight? Two women, Mary and Elizabeth. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth, we'll hear from him later, Zacharias. But this was a couple that was faithful to God. And here we have recorded the words of this woman, Elizabeth, who believed. And she believed the message. And it changed her life. That's the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel. You know, we come to a Christmas Eve service, and we want to hear, you know, a nice story. But do you know that the gospel news is the only headline from God in the last 2,000 years? You know, breaking news. Like, we don't even break news. Yeah, right. We shut down the school. There was 3/4 of an inch of school. Breaking news. Now they shut down the school. Just the threat of snow shuts down the school. I grew up in Maine. We went to school. We didn't care about the snow. In fact, I remember as a kid, how many disappointed days I had. They didn't cancel school, and they should have canceled school. And if I lived today, they would have definitely canceled school. But here's the thing. The only headline. That's the only headline. Jesus is coming to the world. The good news of the gospel. Repent and believe. That headline hasn't changed. It's the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. And notice that it's not a religion. It's not something you do. It's not something, you know, give her your money or be a good person. That's not the news. The news is Jesus has come. He's died on the cross. Repent and believe the gospel so you can have eternal life. Let's stand and pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for this good news that changes us. We thank you for the good news that's to be believed. We thank you for the good news. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're humbled by this news that in your grace and your mercy, you've looked upon us, had mercy upon us, and you stretch out our hand that we may believe and be saved. And we give you the honor, give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If we could have the lights down as we sing this last song, we'll take your candles out. We think of this light, the light of the gospel that's still shining 2,000 years later. Think of this. When this baby came, when Zacharias and Elizabeth, their lives were changed. More than 2,000 years later, we're in a church and we're showing the light of the world, the gospel. All these years later, why? Because God's headline hasn't changed. And the question for us today, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Has your life been changed? Have you believed on him? Have you given your life to Jesus? Do you know him? Not know about him? You've heard the Christmas story year after year, but can you say in your heart, I know Jesus. My Redeemer lives. He's in my heart. I glorify him. As we sing, give you an opportunity. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Maybe you need to accept Jesus. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I thank you that I have this light that was shown and given through the angels and then shown through the lives of Zacharias and Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary, and finally through the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then his death on the cross, and then 3 days later, he rose victorious over death. Let's sing to